So, dear Lord, we just again want to thank you for bringing us together and just wanting to bring our children up in purity to be holy for you and for their future spouses and for themselves, dear Lord, that that's never too early to teach them about these things, and that if we do wait, it's going to be trouble. And just help each of these parents to build their own goals and structure for their kids as they grow older in this way. In Jesus' name, amen. As my prayer stated, that it's up to you guys how to state this. So hopefully during this talk, you'll get some of the ideas from us. Actually, when the church staff got that little our little thing about it, it started a lot of conversations we heard. I don't know if it's true, but it's what I've heard. And I guess some of the questions were, did you get the talk? Was the talk effective? When was your talk? And basically that was the whole thing. And so they started, some of the ladies were like, okay, I hope you're going to tape yours because we actually have to be somewhere else during that one and we want to hear this. They're not married. They don't have kids yet. And they're like, we want to know because it didn't, the talk was nothing for us.
So we're going to ask that question.
Which one? I am going to do it.
Did you have the talk?
Did one of your parents give you the talk? If they did, raise your hand. Was it too late in that the school system or wherever already taught you? Now, purity-wise, I mean, mind, thought, everything, did it work? You don't have to raise your hands on that. I don't want to embarrass anyone. Trick question. And most of the time, that's what the people at the church like. That was the same response. Either they did not get one. It was basically too late because the school system or whatever, they already knew it. And so that made it like really weird because why are you talking about it now? Because you've sent me to school and you wrote the form. And you know I know. That's what I couldn't understand because that's what happened to me. I'm like, don't you remember writing on the form? Oh, yes, my son can attend, blah, blah, sexual education, you know, whatever they do in schools. I'm like, so why are you talking to me about
it? How old were you?
I was in high school already.
For him, it was like, Dad, just don't talk about this anymore. I can't even. Yeah, got it.
Yeah,
got
I was
it.
On sports teams and everything else. So I was like, I probably know more about this subject than you do. So, yeah. And so that's part of it. I mean, this is part of what we're going to talk about. If it was just talking to him about the birds and the bees, about sex and everything else, anytime would be fine. It wouldn't matter. But if you want to talk to them about purity, about being having your part of your being your temple, your body being a temple for God, it's got to start a lot earlier than that. How early? When they little kids, really tiny kids, we install it from almost time of birth. Most every child, I think every child, when we found out that she was pregnant, we would actually start praying for their spouses then. We still do this day. I mean, so we've been praying for Jordan's spouse for 18 years.
What's really cool is I'm just starting to think now, that's like just around the corner. I'm about to meet the person I have been praying for 18 years. It's such a cool place. I mean, and there's nobody on the horizon for him, but it's just a few years away. There's going to be somebody, and I'm really excited about that.
Another thing we tell our kids is saving your kisses. I mean, it's really cute for little kids to go around kissing them, but even that time, we'll tell them to start saving their kisses for their husband or for their wife. We're installing that point. Now, I want to ask all the females in the room, when did your mom or dad decide you could date? What was the age? 16. Didn't give you an age. How many were you told that when you turned that age? Pretty much. You know, there's some of you who say, oh, yeah. Were you really happy about that? No. It was like, some of you are like, oh, no big deal. Some of you are going, yeah, terrible. I mean, I've heard a lot of stories of parents telling their kids, you know, oh, you're not going to date until you're 17, and they're 15, and everyone's dating. They're like, I'm thinking I'm dating now. And there's this big strife. Why don't you let them date? Well, if you were to start telling your kids when you think they should date when they're 4 or 5, guess what? When they got to that age, when they got to date that, what they thought they could date, they would know, I can't date into this age. Now, really, we don't have an age. We just don't. Lucky enough, our oldest son has broke the barrier and led a good fight. And he's like, he's said, I don't want to date until I get closer to the age of marriage. I don't need to have an extra relationship to deal with when I'm a high school student. I want to have fun. I have plenty of more to do. And I have enough time with relationships at home and trying to be more godly. I mean, some of you guys know Jordan. I mean, the kids, I mean, I get pretty good response from him. So he's done that. And so Trevor's kind of in the same boat. Madison's probably the one who wants to break that edge. And we'll have to deal with that. But she knows about that.
The thing about Jordan is that it's not for lack of opportunity. He's a good kid, really nice. And there's been lots of girls that have been interested in him. And we've had to do the opposite with him. We've had to help him have words to be able to tell the girls that are interested in him, I'm not going to date anybody till I'm ready to get married. And they look at him like he's from space. What? There's one girl in particular that is just, she's a really good friend of his, but she is constantly, for a long time, she was constantly pushing him. What do you mean you're not going to date until you're ready to get married? What about if you find somebody, or like if you're away at college and the person that you like at home finds somebody, like she's talking about herself. What if I find somebody else? He goes, well, then it wasn't meant to be. You know, he's just cut and dry. And firstborn rule follower kind of, it's cut and dry. We laid the foundation for that. He's going to follow it. He sees how smart that is. He sees friends doing things that are really ridiculous because they're in a relationship with somebody. It's just, he's wise that way. Our next one is really super quiet, doesn't have a whole lot of words for anybody, so let alone a girl. And he's very physical, going to do sports and chase and run and do that kind of stuff. So he's just not there yet either. Our daughter, who is 13 now, who my sister warned me about when she was 4. She's looking at the magazines by the, you know, not looking away. And she's very interested when Dan and I are kissing, when all the other girls are going, I mean, all the other kids are going, ew, that's gross. You know, if we just even kiss a little bit in the kitchen, they all hide their eyes and run away. And she's just going, you know, so she's bent towards that. She's got an interest in that. Well, that's when she was 3, 4, young. I'm thinking I'm in really big trouble. And now she's 13. She went to a 4-H camp that happened to have a dance on Saturday night, which I didn't know about her, but she probably wouldn't have gone. And she chose not to go to the dance. It was a leadership camp. And she came home and she said, it was so ridiculous. Everything about the camp was the kids planning for the dance, who they're going to go with, trying to find somebody to go with. She said it was dumb. We didn't learn anything about leadership because all the kids were talking about who they were going to go to the dance with. She chose not to go to the dance. And she's beautiful. It was like one of those movie things. She's sitting outside the dance, outside, and all the boys are coming out to talk to her. Why aren't you in the dance? She said, oh, it's just stupid. I don't want to go in there. They go, yeah, it is really stupid. Yeah, it's really dumb. So it's just that, and for her to have made that choice is, I just wanted to jump out of my skin up and down. Yay! But I said, oh, well, you made a wise choice there. I'm glad that you did that. But for her, there's hope for kids that are even bent towards that. I think it's so important to do it when they're little, like what Dan was talking about. We talk to them from the time they can understand that you save your kisses for your husband. We don't kiss our kids on the lips. They don't kiss each other. They don't kiss us on the lips. They kiss us on the cheek. You save all your kisses for your husband. And we talk about that from the time they're really, really little. So
we also use the example of you had a big candy jar full of candy and it's got a nice bowl and it's wrapped. And to give part of your heart away, to give your kisses away, you actually have to open that bow up, open the jar out, reach in and give them something. And so it gave them a real physical thing about it, not just words. It gave them a symbol
and for that jar was meant for your husband. So you're actually taking things, or your wife, you're taking things out of the jar that don't even belong to you in the first place and giving them to somebody else that doesn't deserve them. So, and we talk about that dad is in charge of taking care of that candy jar from while you're little, but at some point he's going to give it back to you so you can have responsibility for it on your own. And so far we haven't given it back to anybody yet. So maybe not till they're like 25 or something.
Yeah, get through the shotgun first.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's just talking with our children. I mean, we do Bible studies there. Actually, we're doing the Life Journal. We don't do the journal part as a family, but we'll do like the New Testament or whatever. This time we'll do this book of the chapter. So we just kind of follow the life chapter and we just do it together. Well, there's verses about marriages and there's verses about other things, and we talk to about it even with the little ones. So they understand what their role is about it also. So it's not just a little, you know, we're talking about sex here. We're talking about the whole relationship between, you know, between us, between a couple. And so they understand it becomes more than just sex to them. So that's how we do it. There's two books that you probably all know about, The Princess and the Kiss. Or we got to get new ones because Abby loves the book. She sleeps with the book. So
there's The Princess and the Kiss and The Squire and the Scroll.
So definitely these are two books for your kids. I would get them at, it basically teach, she's read it more than I, so she can probably tell you by heart almost the whole thing. You want to go into
It's the Princess and the Kiss is that when the princess was born, the parents were given a kiss that's in this beautiful, like it's on a stand with a jar, a glass case over the top of it, and it's like real shiny. And basically there's all of these men that come in and try and get that and try and take that from her, and she and her dad protects it for a long time and until this the right man comes and she ends up giving it to him. And so it's just a really good little children's story about purity. And the scroll, the Squire and the Scroll, is more about the things that a man will need as he gets older: integrity and faith. And there's several things. I haven't read it in a while because we haven't had our little boy is, he's only a year old, so he's not really old enough for it yet. But so it's been 4 or 5 years since I've read it. So anyways, he goes on a journey and he gets all of these things, and that's what he becomes a knight because he has all of those qualities.
Another book, especially for dads with boys, is Raising a Modern Day Knight. Excellent book. We've also kind of turned it in for daughters. She's kind of taken the same principles, and it's basically looking ahead and in our culture, there is not a point in time when people become adults. You know, there's not a
rite of passage.
Rite of passage kind of things. And so they talk about that, starting young and building up to it, like the whole knight system. You have apprentice and you work your way up. And we've done that with both our boys and our girls. So there's steps. And so we will go more into it, but that's some of the books that we use besides the Bible. I mean, I would recommend you guys just to go through it. And we actually didn't break any verses down because we feel it's really important for you, the guys, to get in it. Our first session, we gave a whole bunch of verses. This one, we're going to make you go do it. And really, just take it back in the book and look about purity. And there's tons of verses in it about that. Another thing we teach our younger kids, and it actually started out for the boys. Being a man, I know some of the things, hopefully. I should know. Those things are going to be probably hindering to them. I mean, and kids are just filled with it on TV and books and whatever. It's just beautiful women, beautiful people, beautiful whatever. Victoria's Secret commercial comes in. Guess what? They're always during sports. Combination. Well, see, I'm not going to wear that. So why are you playing it during sports? They know what guys like. It's not fools. So we've told our boys to look away. Well, that's when we only had Jordan and Trevor. Well, Mazin came. She looks away. Everybody looks away. And I asked my wife, so why do the girls look away? I mean, it's girls. I mean, I'm not looking. So, you know, she says, well, for one, they don't need to be looking at it, too. I mean, is there, she's like saying, you know, there's a point where they don't need to be looking at it either because it's not what it's going to fill with their brains. You have to be this shape. You have to look like this. You have to. So it's not going to be really helpful for them. Two, it's respecting their brothers. When they get older, they might have an understanding that, my husband's not weird because he has a tendency to look. I mean, every guy in this room probably wouldn't admit, yeah, everybody fights. I teach my boys how to bounce our eyes. You know, you see it, just look. So there's that combination. You're doing that. It was a funny night. Thursday, we have some friends over. We're watching Survivor, and one of those things going, the controllers wasn't anywhere to be seen. So all my kids turn, and Max is on the floor. He's one. He's not really watching. And Bailey, who's five, is sitting next to her. Bailey turns her eyes and goes to Max. So they know. You know what I mean? And she's like, you can't watch it. You know? And the people around are like, wow, that's pretty cool. I mean, so we just instill that into them since they're little. The whole protecting their heart. I mean, she's got to talk to this about the girls a little bit more as, you know, they get to be 10 and they like a boy. And how does that affect them? I mean, are you starting to give a piece of your heart away before you should be giving that away? And just talking to them about it. And start talking to your kids about different things. We have parents always ask us, what about if they ask a question? Where do babies come from? Start simple. They come from God. Most of the time, you talk to them. Most of the time, they don't want this huge explanation. They just want a simple answer. So don't be scared of those questions, but definitely answer them because when they get older, that communication has been open.
And it changes. So the three-year-old that asks where babies come from is going to be satisfied with the answer, they come from God. But then the five-year-old that asks that question is not completely satisfied with that answer because now I'm going to the doctor regularly and my belly is growing and they understand. And so they see what's going on. And so my answer is a special place where God makes babies come from. And that's acceptable for them. So as they get older, you answer the questions. By the time that we usually have the official talk about when they're around 10, it depends on the child because maturity is different for different children. And so they'll know the biological, this is how things happen. You have, you know, draw the picture at whatever. You have that conversation. They know at that point when, you know, so when I have a 10-year-old and I'm pregnant, they understand what's going to happen and they know where the baby's going to come from. And really, they don't want to talk about it anymore. That's 10 is for us anyways, because we don't do public school. So sometimes it's younger than that. But for 10, for us, the kids don't know anything yet. We ask them during the talk. Now I'm getting ahead of what we were talking about.
Go ahead.
But we ask them at the very beginning, when we sit down to have the talk with them, we ask them what they think sex is. And most of the time they say something like, when mommies and daddies kiss, or when you... I think the furthest we've gotten is when they lay in bed together. That's as close as we've gotten. They don't know that. That's what they think it is. So that's good. And you want to get to them before they know, before they have the knowledge, like Dan, you know, embarrassed that his dad was telling him this stuff that he already knew.
They'll still be embarrassed.
Still embarrassed. And the best thing, except for my daughter who's 13 now, who likes that kind of thing, the other kids went, you know, at the end of the talk, you say, so what do you think about that? They go, that is gross. That is gross. My 13-year-old, when she was that age and I had the talk with her, I said, so what do you think? You know, how do you feel about that? She goes, does Dad know? Yeah, honey, Dad knows. Okay. She just processing. It's all good with her. She's comfortable with that. So it's a little bit scary.
Right.
No, then there's the special place that God made for babies to come out of. And he opens it and he closes it. And most of the time at that age, that's enough. But for me, so you can have that conversation, if it's okay with her parents, really, you can have that conversation with her. For me, the baby has to come out through surgery and the doctor has to cut a place open to get the baby out. But for some people, there's a special place that God made for.
Where's that place?
Yeah, well, Well, that's okay. For a while, that's okay for them to think that. Yeah.
Any other questions? You can ask questions right now, too.
I have three little girls, and so they've all seen me be pregnant, my sister Vivian, and now my sister-in-law. And so they've asked that same question, well, how did they get that baby out? And so, well, my sister, it's C-sections. It's the vaginal birth. And so saying it that way, it's, well, they cut antecum open to get it up. Oh, and they're more interested. And then, but with, so just they don't want to go so much into it. I think they think more about it in their head, but they won't birth.
They're really more concerned about whether or not it hurts. Yeah.
Yeah. And they
can
get with that.
Yeah.
We'll go more into it when you, I'll talk about them a little bit more in depth, like what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's enough for them.
So all during this time, I mean, there's this, that communication that happens, and it's funny because when they get to the age, they don't know what's going to happen, like 10, but they like, oh, this happened. You know, they are so excited about it. So, cause we do make it a special time. We don't, it's not like, hey, here's a talk. Here you go. Bye. You know, how are you doing? We definitely talk to them over again. We just kind of like have checkups. Yeah. How's, have you had any questions about it? How, what's going on? I know this girl likes you. What's going on with that? So you can ask them, and our kids are like, they just ask us. We might have the problem, but they'll answer us. Let's put it that way. Sometimes they do come and say, what do I do with this situation? I mean, this girl won't stop bugging me. What do I do? So if you left that up, that communication open, and all it stems when they were little and not being showing them. I mean, if your wife and husband don't kiss, and you don't kiss them in front of them, they're going to be really shocked or like, well, my parents don't do that. Or they did it three times because we have three kids and that's it. Mom, dad only did three times. And they're going to convince themselves because they never see that affection and stuff. So the part of the purity thing is to keep them see that it is a special thing. When you get to the talks, there's tons of things you can do. Be creative. I mean, that's one of the things about the night. They don't talk about the talk, but the manhood thing, becoming a man. Having a special event or something, well, kind of do the same. I took one son out, and I know he loves video games, and so we had the talk. We had, I think I had coffee, he had a chocolate. I don't do it in a public area. We go out, but
don't
like we'll be in
Starbucks.
The car or something. Yeah, don't be in the Starbucks. Hey, son, you know what sex is? You might have an audience for one going, I got to hear this one. But we, most of the time we do it in the car or whatever. We go have dinner and have it in the car. And then we just had a lot of fun. We went to like that Blackbeard's the first one. The next one wanted to go see a movie. So we went to see a movie and we talked about it. With all of our kids, we've given them a ring to help them remind themselves that they're not just doing it for us, but they're doing it for God and they're doing it for their future spouse. And that's what we were saying. You're doing all this stuff for your future spouse. I mean, wouldn't that be lovely to go to your spouse and say, here it is. Never been touched. Never. My kisses have been saved for you. I've been taught her sister never kissed her husband until they got married. Wow. I mean, they didn't kiss when they were dating. They barely hold hands while they were dating stuff. The other thing is you don't want your kids to be a prude. I mean, let's be fact. If you get to a point, there's going to be prudeness into this now. And that's not part of it. I mean, part of our daughter, when she had the talk, because she is that type, mom and her went and had their ears pierced way up here. I mean, my kids, when they're five, girls get to have their ears pierced. So that wasn't a big deal, but she always wanted her ears pierced on the top. And so after the talk, that's what they went and did. This is great. It's showing her sexuality. It's part of her. We know this, and so how do you handle that? How do you balance that so you're not just prude and everyone's kind of looking at you, but not being to the extreme?
I want her to be able to offer something to her husband. I don't want her to be afraid of it. I don't want her to be – I just want her to be able to have a loving relationship with her husband that's a blessing to him. And she will probably be a really big blessing to her husband. I want her to be able to embrace that. She asked me when she was – 11 or 12, if she could get her belly button pierced. And I said, if your husband wants you to get your belly button pierced, that would be great. I'm good with that. But you can't do it until then.
Get about.
Yeah. So things like that. And what's funny is that my Dan, okay, Jordan, my oldest, decided on his 18th birthday he was going to get a tattoo. And he just turned 18 a couple weeks ago. Dan went and got the tattoo first. And so they studied it together. They decided what they were going to get. It was a family thing. It's the tattoo that all the boys in the family are going to get. And they are so excited about it. Even the littler ones are, they can't wait till they turn 18. So, and it has a lot of meaning behind it. So Madison, who's 13, was upset because they got to go and get this thing done, but she can't do anything till her husband says it's okay. So it's one of those things. But she's still okay with that. So the top is his name. The griffin is on our family shield, or our family crest. The bottom on the far that side has a quiver. His quiver that has 10 arrows in it, 5 red and 5 blue, because we have 5 girls and 5 boys. And on the other side is the bow that he will be shooting the arrows into. Well, I'm about to shoot an arrow here in a couple months. So, and Jordan's has the same thing without the bottom banner on it. And so someday when he decides what he wants to have on there, also Psalm 127 is the quiverful verse. And that children are a blessing. It's the whole chapter. And it's the builder who, you know, it builds his house in vain, whatever. I don't know. Anyways, children are a blessing from the Lord, stuff like that. Anyway, so, but when he's old enough and knows what he wants to put on that bottom banner, he's going to go back and have that put on. So, anyway, she was upset that she couldn't do something like that. She wants to get a tattoo. She wants to get this pierced and that pierced.
And so what we told her is that, and biblically we showed her that, okay, we've made an age for our boys, 18, that's the age. And this has become the ceremony, is the tattoo. We study it biblically, all that kind of stuff. And the more we find out, the more it's pretty cool about it. But I told her, you're actually under my head hold until you get married. I showed her biblically, you're under my leadership until you get married. And so when your husband, when you get married, says, that's fine with me. I know that doesn't sound fair. That's what we're going to do. And I said, you know what? It doesn't mean that I'm not going to let you when you're 18. But for right now, we're going to talk about it. And so there's that open relationship. She's felt like, what about us? We're the girls. What about us? So we were able to have that conversation. Reason why? It's because we brought them up that way.
She's totally fine with that too. She gets a little bummed about it, but she goes, that's okay. That's how it is. And she doesn't, she's not like rebellious against it. And I have no fear that she's going to go out and do something like that on her own, just to spite what we say or anything. I have no fear of that. She understands. When I had the talk with her, she was young enough that she was concerned about somebody coming to want to date her and not wanting to go on the date or being afraid to go on a date with somebody. And I said, okay, you have a big daddy and you can say, my dad won't let me. And you can totally use us. And she was so excited to be able to have that out if she wanted it. And you know, we have, like Dan said, we haven't set a date where she's going to be allowed to date. I don't think that she's just not going to be allowed to date, really, as far as I'm concerned. I can't even think about that right now because it makes me sweat. But she's okay with that. And she was excited that he would plan that. And they were all three of my girls, they're 13, 12, and 11, 11, 12, 13. And they were spending the night at a really close friend's house. And her mom was in the other room and she was listening in on them. And they had just watched the movie, The Nativity, and where Jesus's mother, Mary, their marriage was arranged. And so they had a conversation about that. And there was actually one other girl there that wasn't really in this close group of friends. And, they were talking about how, well, wow, would you let your dad pick your husband? And my daughters and the other girl that they are good friends with said, yeah, we would let daddy pick who we married because they trusted him.
So I wrote the contract up and we have it.
Yeah. We are not going to arrange marriages, but the fact that they trusted their daddies enough to make that decision. And in that conversation, after it was over, they started talking about who they want to marry. Madison, my oldest, said, I know exactly who I want to marry. And so my friend who's listening into this conversation going, all right, I know I'm going to get some good stuff here. She said, I want to marry somebody just like my daddy. And so just that is so powerful. He is being such a great model for them. And it's just such a special thing for them to be able to say, I want to marry somebody just like my daddy. I want that for them. We want to be modeling something that they want. I don't want them to look at us and go, sooner I can get out of here, the better. I want something totally different than what my parents have. I want them to want what we have. And that's part of wanting them to remain pure until they get married, because their marriage relationship is going to be such a blessing.
So a couple of things we want you to do out of this class. One is to get together with your spouse and go over the verses, and then also have a plan for your children. What are you going to do for the boys? What are you going to do for the girls? Are you going to have, get a ring? I would put an age where you want to have that talk. Now, when you get closer and you're like, maybe they're not mature enough, don't say it's because you don't want to give the talk. But, we have some kids that are different maturity, and so it's been around 10, 11, right in there. If your kids aren't going to be in public school, I'd probably make it earlier. Just because it is talked a lot. If your kids play a lot of sports that are ongoing, gymnastics, swimming, it's a lot of team sports, and they do it for a long period of time, and they're there for a long time, you might have to do it sooner. Before the talk with Jordan, he was doing plays and stuff, and so we had some conversations that wasn't about the talk, but relationship-wise, and giving them tools about that. And that's another thing you want to do, is you want to give your kids tools, either relationship-wise. If you've been to any kind of marriage retreat or whatever, they give you tools. Turn that out and give those tools to your kids, so when they get older, they're ahead of the game. Two, give your kids tools to get out of situations. If you go to college, this is the conversation I'm having with Jordan. You're going to college, your roommate decides to throw porn onto the internet. What's your choice? He wants to go to a Christian college. Hopefully that's not, And I go, guess what? It's rampant there. He's going to go to school, but if they catch you, they kick you out. There's no second chance. So I'm like, you got to make a point. Do you turn around and just leave? And the thing is, it was really funny because they went to see a movie. Most of the time we checked, and there's other parents, and it was our fault. None of the parents checked. We all thought every other parent was going to check it. So if they said okay, it was okay. We asked him, he goes, it was probably not the best movie that I saw. It probably wouldn't, chose it. There's some situations that came up, and I started eating popcorn, and I knew exactly what he meant. And I was like, I didn't need to see that. And I'm like, ooh, look at the popcorn, And I know he's starting to make, he's making some choices outside. The people he's with, they probably wouldn't care. They probably wouldn't notice what he did. But he knows that no one was watching him. He could have sit there and watched it, and he decided to do something for that. He said it was only a couple parts, and then it was fine. And I said, great choice, do that. So give your kids tools if something happens. I've always told my daughters, when you do get the date, they're going to have to ask me, the boy is going to have to ask me before you go on the date. Not that day. It's going to have to be a different day, because I'm not going to do the talk to the boy and then let him go. I will have a gun by my side, though. But I told him this. And that's something I've set on them already, even before the talk, that they know this is going to happen. I tell them there's two reasons why. Well, I get to say no. That's my word. Two, if a boy that you don't like wants to date you, you can say, fine, you just got to talk to my dad. You come to me and say, Dad, I don't want to date him. Okay, fine. I'll make sure that boy never wants to date you again. I will scare him. So he doesn't want to ask you, because I know if I just say no, well, come on, your dad will never know. I'll make sure that kid, no, don't come by near my daughter. And so they have that freedom, like, hey, that's totally cool. I don't have to say no to this person. So they've known when they get in that situation, we'll take care of that. About the talk, about it. Definitely make it fun. Make it special for them. Do something for your family. We've done the ring, and we kept talking about it and stuff. We will have times where we take them away. Yes, it is weird for the parent also. You're just as – when you were that teenager who had the talk and you were going, this is just weird, you'll feel weirder as the parent, and then it gets really weird because they know.
Yeah, That's weird.
That's weird. You're like, oh, they didn't.
It was very weird the first time when Dan took Jordan because he came home and he knew. And I knew that he knew, and he knew that I knew that he knew. And so it was a little bit weird. It was like the white elephant in the room for a little while, but it was okay. I got over it.
So is there any questions you guys have for us? Go back.
What do you suggest if you didn't do it that way, either you or your wife did it that way, and didn't necessarily lead the biblical model example of purity going into marriage or before marriage, and then you give the talk? Because inevitably that question will come up, well, is that how you guys did it? And then what do you say to that? I mean, obviously,
well, you there's a point. You tell them the truth, and every time there's a fire, a house fire, I try to take my kids to it.
Not every time, but occasionally.
Occasionally, if I hear one, especially close, I take them to it, and I pray. Well, I'll drive to it to see what it is, and I'm praying that there's a chimney that they can still see. And I'll take them, even before we had the talk, I might take them, but the ones I've had the talk, I take them by there. I said, so what do you think about the fire? We start talking about it, and I go, do you realize what's still standing? The chimney. Where does the fire belong? It belongs in the chimney. It belongs in the fireplace. And I tell them, this is how sex is. God has made it wonderful and awesome, meant in the fireplace. You get great heat. It's warm. It's got a glow to it. I mean, a fire in a fireplace is awesome. You take that fire and you put it anywhere on that house, and what happened? That happened. So I would take them and say, you know what? I've learned from my past experience. That's what happened to me. And guess what? When I went to your mom, I had to rebuild my house. I had to fix my jar that I basically dropped on the ground and splattered it all over the place, and I wasn't giving her the best. And I want you not to have that feeling. And the truth to them will be like, and you're like, you won't understand it now, but there's so much more than that. I mean, the fire is the best thing I can give you, is because, those people are out of their house. They lost all their possessions, and the only thing standing is where the fire should have been. And that's a really good picture for them to do that. So those are some of the things. I know of a woman who took her, before they had the talk, she took her daughter shopping, and they actually looked at China. She was a little bit older than when we gave the talk. And so they said, hey, what do you like? And she finally picked one. Mom bought a set, complete set, brought it. A couple of days later, had a friend over for dinner. And she took out their china and took out her china and let her friend eat at her china and gave her a paper plate, plastic forks and spoons and, a cup. And everyone's just like, the dad's in it, so he wasn't thinking about anything else. The daughter's just like, and so it's this white elephant the whole time no one talked about. Friend left and she goes, Mom, what was that about? She goes, I'm trying to teach you what's going to happen with your husband. Do you want to give him the china or do you want to give him paper plates and spoons and stuff? And she says, I want to give him the china. Okay, these are the things you need to do to give him the china. So there's tons of examples out there. I mean, we have another friend with his daughter. He had three daughters and one son. And with his daughters, his brother was also a jeweler. And so he actually made lockets, heart lockets with keys. You can't find them. They're really expensive if you want to have it then. And it had, I will take care. And the dad had the key and said, when you get married, the person who wants to marry you will come and ask me for the key. And that was his whole thing. And one of the son-in-laws actually has the key as part of his ring. It's not melted into it. It's actually, pressed into it. So the key's right there. So and the funny thing is the father also made a letter to his future son-in-laws when he did the whole thing. He says, I'll have a letter for him. And so that's something kept. So there's tons of stuff when you have the talk or leading up to the talk that you guys can do. Definitely when you're having that and they ask that question, be honest. But be honest both ways. You know what? You're going to have the same problem. You're going to be one, if you get in a relationship, don't, I mean, that's another thing we tell our kids. When they have that relationship, be in the fishbowl. Make that relationship so everyone can see it. Don't be stupid and say, oh, yeah, we can spend time alone and nothing will happen. Yeah, right. You know, I also tell my kids, if holding hands make you think of kissing, kissing makes you think of necking, necking thinks you're having sex, guess what? Holding hands is too far. So it's like, I mean, we go, oh, they're just holding hands. That's okay. I mean, if I saw my son dating a person and leaning into his girlfriend, I'll smack him silly. Because one, you're not respecting her. Two, you're not treating her like a sister in Christ. And three, I know what you're doing. You know? So
we had Madison is the one that asked me. I don't know. Did Jordan and Trevor ask you if you did it right? Yeah. Okay, Madison, because she's, like I said, she filter and all of that. She doesn't filter anything. She says everything that she thinks right away. When I had the talk with her, that was one of the first questions she asked me. Did you and Dad do it right? And I had to tell her no. And it's very painful to have to tell them that. And I told her she had lots of other questions too. Very, very personal. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm having to answer this. Like on the way to soccer practice, you know, come on. No warning whatsoever talking about the weather. Then she asked me something like, do I have a brother and sister somewhere I don't know about? So very pointed questions that I have to say, okay, no, you don't. And we didn't do it right. And it was very, very painful for very many people. And all you just have to be so honest. That is, it burned the house down. There's you just need to be open and honest about how painful that is and how destructive that is and how much you don't want that for them. Because it would be horrible if any of my children had that happen to them. And I just don't want them to go through that. Not because they were disobeying or being disobedient or sinful or whatever. It's painful and I don't want them to have to go through that. So.
And I tell the boys, I mean, if doing it the right way is going to be so much better. There's going to be so much less headache for you guys to do that. And so they really, like I said, Jordan said, I don't want to date until I get closer to marriage, you know. And that whole thing about, that's why I've been talking to him. When you start dating, you're going to probably be away at college. Her parents are probably not going to be around either. I mean, don't be stupid. Don't let, you know, if you walk in and expecting your roommate to be there and he's not, turn around and leave. Don't go, oh, we can handle it. Don't be sitting in the car for a long time. You know, don't, it's like, if you see a commercial, you're going to turn your eyes right away. You don't go, well, I might get better. She might put more clothes on. You know, it's going to get better. I mean, and so you got, that's some of the tools you got to teach them also. Any other questions? I know you have questions.
I have a question about your family crest. Uh-huh. How you did that. I think that's a really good idea because it kind of gives your kids something to, I don't know, maybe it gives them something to identify themselves, but say we're a part of something, you know. And I think that is so great. But how did you do that?
I just looked it up. I don't believe that the griffin's part of my crest at any time because I wasn't royalty or anything, but I went with it because if you looked up short, that's what they give you as the family crest. There's some other things about it. Part of the things of a griffin, that they're loyal, that they are strong fighters, they don't quit. And a lot of times they're used to protect
divinity. Anything divine. They're used on churches and...
They've been used on church and stuff. They also, you know, this is all made up, but they also represent one marriage. So of a griffin that if their spouse was to die, they would not find another spouse or partner, you know? And so the church actually took that as a stance. Like, I don't know why they would use a mythical creature, but they actually did in some places use that. So that represented the second thing on the shield. You saw the red cross. Red cross represents Jesus Christ, his blood dying for us. In medieval times, when a knight would use someone else's shield, they were saying, I'm fighting for you. Either as because out of, you know, they, most of the time it wasn't because they were forced to, it was because they chose to. You know, I owe my life to you, so I will fight on you. So fighting under someone else's shield was like one of the best respects you could give as a knight to some other knight, because you just respected that knight so much. So we fight under Christ's shield, and that's what I represent. My son's colors are a little bit different, except for the red cross. That stays the same. So it's a little different than that. So
you guys have to tackle a lot of issues knows she's not allowed to go over there because she doesn't have a dad over there. We haven't gotten to the discussion of it's because there's two moms over there. You know, and I just am not ready to even go. And so she therefore took it to mean then that so-and-so at school, that she probably couldn't go over there because so-and-so at school only lives with her mommy. You know, their mommy got divorced.
You know what? You need to have those conversations, even at that young age. This is what the Bible says about that, and what they're doing is...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I wouldn't go in great detail.
No, but just that the Bible says that it's for a mommy and a daddy, and marriage is for, you know, and you know, at her own level, you don't need to explain the details, but that's not okay, and that's not what we believe. And we've had to have conversations like that because Jordan was doing, our oldest when he was 9 was doing Roger Rocca's, the junior company, and the director of that was flaming, and I knew that he was going to at least notice, so we had to have some conversations, and he spent time, never alone with him, but enough time in rehearsals and stuff that he needed to understand what that was about and understand that it's not okay. We can love the sinner but hate the sin, and so we're still going to be respectful to him, but just so he knows what that's out there. So our thing is that we need to be really open with them because I want them to come and ask me hard questions. And we have to be really good actors as parents because we need to pretend like that didn't shock the socks off of you, okay? Because
what?
It's just part of the pick your jaw up and answer the question, but try not to let them see how either uncomfortable you or embarrassed or whatever, because they need to be comfortable coming and asking you questions. So... Yeah.
That's the important part. It's not about whether she has 2 or 6 or 8.
Right. And you have to differentiate. Some people have only one mommy because the daddy is gone. So those conversations are important to have. That mommy loves that child just as much as you love yours, and as their daddy loves them, and those mommies love them just as much. It's just something that we don't believe, and so we just need to be careful. So.
And that'll come up when they're older. I mean, my sons are like, they're like, they can go to the scripture. Okay, that's wrong. This is wrong, and that's wrong. But at the same time, they will respect that person, and they understand what God has done for us. He still loves us, but he hates our sin. You know, and so that's a great way to show your child that also. You know, we still can love that child. We can still do that,
and we can maybe pray for them.
So there's this whole realm just leads to a lot of conversations all over the place. And, definitely, like I said, I mean, go and talk to your spouses about the verses and talk about your plan, because that's one of the biggest things. Because if you don't, they'll come so much faster. And all those things that you wanted to put in your child didn't happen. And then you're suddenly got, oh, great, I got a 12-year-old who, you know, I mean, she was lucky enough. She had all, I mean, with Madison, she knew all this. By the way, Madison knows that we talk about her. So,
yeah.
I mean, she'd probably be embarrassed if you guys came and said something, but we've asked her about this, and she said, yes, you can use her. All of our kids have said that. I mean, if we didn't have all those talks, when she asked, when can I have my belly button pierced? And she would just said, never. Or when your husband, she would go, I don't think so, you know. But she's like, okay. You know, and she can ask us, why can't the boys do that? And well, we talked about it a little bit too, like I said before. So having all these conversations early allow for a lot of things, you know. And like stated before, okay, we didn't do it right. Because your kids are going to go, well, you didn't do it right, and you look like you did well. Because they see now, they didn't see all the stuff in between. And you're like, no, believe me. As they get older, you're going to like... You know that? That's why I use the fire, because it just, I mean, especially when they get older, they understand it. I mean, they just see that house and they're just like, we had about a year ago or 2 years ago, brand new house. I mean, the people were going to move in the next week. Some guy did some work, left something on, house was down. And the great thing about this one was the front stayed completely not done. Fireplace was still up, but everything behind it was burnt. And I said, that's how people are. Mm-hmm. They looked at it like everything's normal, everything's fine, everything, but you just lean to one side and you can see the burnt house. And that's how it is. I mean, so a lot of people are walking around never fixed the burnt house, but they got the front of the house looking nice. I mean, the yard was like, you couldn't tell there was a fire. I mean, if you were just to, you know, not look at the side of the house, you'd think it's a perfectly good house until, I mean, you turn. And I'm like, you know, I was thanking God. I mean, I felt sorry for the people, but I mean, it was a great example for my kids because I was able to show, because most of the time it's always burnt. This one was like, this is even better than I ever thought. I mean, God put that in my head. So definitely think out of the box with your kids on this. You know, don't be afraid. Thank you for your time. And you want chocolate? We got more chocolate.